with the name. Heard it said, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. So maybe the name doesn't matter, right? Well, in the Bible, it clearly matters. The Bible says there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, I'm reading in Matthew chapter 18, and in verse 20, Jesus says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Where two or three are gathered together in my name. And we looked at what it meant. What does Jesus mean when he says, gather in my name? In fact, what does it mean all the way through the scriptures when he says, do something in his name? Doesn't he say, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do everything in his name. And doesn't it tell us to pray in his name? And doesn't it tell us to ask the Father in his name? Doesn't he say, hitherto you've not asked in my name, but now he says, ask in my name. What does that mean? And what kind of significance can it possibly have? And we said, okay, it's by his authority. And it means only by his authority. We don't claim any other authority. It's just his name. It's in confession of him. It's making a public confession of belonging to him. It's in his honor. And it's only exalting him. And it's in obedience to him. It's mattering to us what his will is and what his desire is. And it's a calling unto him, meaning that's where we are headed. That is why we have been called out. That is what makes us a group at all. It's his name. It all has to do with him. And if you read in the scriptures, especially read the New Testament and just look at the number of times the name of Jesus is mentioned. Amen. But not only the name of Jesus, but the emphasis on his name. How many times it says his name is what's important. I don't know. If you read the New Testament, you'll see there's something really special about this name. But what have we noticed in Christianity nowadays? What have we noticed? We notice that people are a little bit embarrassed about that name. You'll see it on television when some pastor is called to do the prayer breakfast or something, and he prays, but he doesn't mention the name of Jesus. Well, he doesn't want to be offensive. He doesn't want to be divisive. He doesn't want to be tacky. And so he just doesn't mention the name. You can all talk about God sort of like a neutral belief in a supreme being. It's amazing. They don't want to mention the name. Do you realize that Alcoholics Anonymous was started as a Christian group? Christian. And the principles they were found had something to do with believing in God. And now, you know, they call it a superior power or something of that nature. You know, it's one thing if you want to be anonymous, but don't make God anonymous. It's something that Christians are somewhat afraid or ashamed, or they think it's uncouth or, I don't know, divisive or something about his name. And they've become ashamed of it. In fact, you felt it yourself. Come on, you felt it. Let's admit it, something about it. Because the moment you say that name, hair gets raised up on back people's neck. The moment you say the name, people start avoiding you. Say the name, and you got yourself some trouble. It's amazing. All right. We dealt with that last week. And now today I'm going to try to finish this one up. And I'm dealing with a series of things based on a biblical church structure, trying to build a church according to the Bible. Very few churches nowadays put any effort at all into trying to build their church according to the pattern set out in the Bible. They've already got traditional things. They've already got their ways of doing things. And they're learning it not from the Bible, but from their own innovations over the years, or because of some division here or some division there. We don't do this because of that. And it's not about reading the Bible and trying to do things according to the Bible. And so it's high time that Christians all over the world, and they are, there's Christians all over the world trying to do this, they're going to go back to the Bible and say, okay, how did they meet in the Bible? How did they give in the Bible? How did they have a church government in the Bible? What's there? Perhaps the Bible was put there for an example for us, to give us a pattern that we should follow. Or maybe not. Maybe the Bible is just, you know, the way it got started and now we get to innovate. See, I don't believe that. I believe the Bible is put there so that we would have an understanding of the principles whereby we build our church. And He does say, take heed how you build thereon. Take heed how you do it. Don't just do it any old way. All right. All right, today, now I'm going to deal with why it matters. I'm sorry, what it is not. There's several things I'm going to deal with, but right now I want to deal with what it is not. When He says, meet in my name, there's some misunderstanding, a little bit of confusion, because, you know, it's easy to get yourselves messed up. But I guess for sure we know what it is not. It is not denominationalism. We know it's not that, right? I mean, don't we realize that denominationalism is a basis for fellowship other than the Bible, other than the belonging to Jesus Christ? Denominationalism is it's a basis for doing things that is not based on the Bible. It's an organizational structure that's not found in the Bible. And in fact, the Bible mentions very clearly, especially what we read last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that you should not be that way. Don't call yourself after Apollos or Cephas or Paul or even of Christ. Because what that does is it separates you on a different basis. It's the wrong kind of a separation. And separation itself is not wrong. But we're going to deal with that. When you have a denomination, what you have is a commitment to something other than Jesus Christ. You've made yourself a commitment to something other than Jesus Christ. And I guess you could sort of liken that to a woman who says to her husband, yes, I love you, you're my favorite, but you're not my only one. How do you like that? Nobody likes that. We don't want to be your favorite. I do not want to be Debbie's favorite husband. But she says, well, I don't understand. You're my favorite. That's a horrible thing to say. Horrible thing. We want to be only. That's what we're talking about. And what does denominationalism do but put yourselves a commitment to something other than Jesus Christ? What happens when your denomination goes the wrong way? Well, you're committed, aren't you? You're committed. Because, well, you joined. You're a member. You got your signature. I don't know. Or you've made some emotional commitment to it. I've seen this so many times, and it's hard for some people to realize it or to see it. But when someone says, for example, they'll say, I was born Catholic, and I'm going to be Catholic until I die. You've heard that, and that's very common. In fact, it's sort of a statement of honor among Catholics. I was born Catholic, and I'm going to be a Catholic when I die. I'm going to die a Catholic, and that's just the way it is, and that's a statement of honor. But you know what they've done? They've placed the name Catholic over the name Jesus. They've made a commitment to something, not Jesus. That's denominationalism. But you say, well, my denomination's not that bad. But wait a minute, stop and think about it. You get a denomination, and you are committed to that denomination, and then all of a sudden, when the Bible says something different, well, what, you just have to go along. Even if you know it's not true, even if you know that the Bible teaches you something different, but you can't make waves. You've got a commitment to something other than the Bible and other than Jesus Christ. You say, well, you know, everybody has to have something like that. We all have other commitments besides Jesus Christ. But not when it comes to building the church. When we build the church and the way we do our church, we have to do it the way He told us to. See that you make it just like it was showed you in the pattern. That's what He said to Moses about the tabernacle. Make sure you make it exactly like you saw. And that's what we do. We look at the New Testament and say, okay, we want to build the church exactly like it showed us in the Bible. And if you don't think it's really worth it, then I get it. Okay, you don't believe that, but I do. I believe it's worth it, and I believe that's the way we ought to be doing things. I realize that a lot of people in the world will say, this really doesn't matter. And we're going to get to that. But in my estimation, if you realize that it does matter, you have to make sure you avoid denominationalism. Now, denominationalism is both technically and spiritually wrong. It's promoting something other than Christ and the New Testament. Denominationalism is got goals and ambitions other than the New Testament, other than the gospel, other than the glory of Jesus Christ. And there always is. There always is. All right. Okay, so we say it is not denominationalism. What else is it not? Well, one might surprise you. It's not non-denominationalism. You see, because we're saying there is a name. He says, meet in my name. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we're not non-denominational. We have a name. We are Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ, and His name is what is important. And if it's not, well, then it's like religion is what's important. You just need to be... Have you heard these people say, well, I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual. Means they believe in the occult or something. I don't know. They're spiritual. They have a spiritual... I talked to a family member, and he's not living for God, whatever, and he I just went to him and said, how you doing? He says, look, don't talk to me about Jesus. Don't talk to me about the Bible. He said, I and my wife are spiritual. Wow. Wow. Hey, be careful about spiritual without being Christian or being a Bible believer. Be careful of spirits. The Bible says, try the spirits and see if they're of God. All right, what is it not? It's not non-denominationalism, not even anti-denominationalism. Because we do promote a name. We should not be ashamed of that name. We do stand upon a name. We do have the authority of that name. And everything we do is focused on that name. So we're not non-denominational. In fact, you could say that non-denominationalism is, in some ways, I've known a lot of non-denominationals. There's Plymouth Brethren, and there's the local church, and there's a whole lot of different kind of Bible churches and what have you. And what you'll notice is they've got an attitude that is almost as bad or maybe even worse than denominationalism. You can find people who are in a denomination, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, who have no problem at all fellowshipping with you. But you'll find some people who are non-denominational, but if you're not non-denominational, they won't have anything to do with you. In fact, I know non-denominationalists who are so denominational in the sense that if your women don't wear head coverings, they will not meet with you. That's pretty denominational if you ask me. That's pretty divisive. That's pretty much saying, this is our group. This is how we do things. And you have to do things our way. So be careful of thinking that you just do something, some little technicality. You take off a denominational name off of your sign, and now you're okay with God, because it's got to be both technically and spiritually correct. It's not enough to be technically correct. You also have to be correct in your spirit. You have to have the attitude of glorifying His name only, and making your commitment to Him and His name only. It's both. You have to have them both. All right. So it is both technically wrong. If you're non-denominational and you don't put any name, you're technically wrong and spiritually wrong, as well as denominationalism. Now, here's another one, and this is an important one. It is not ecumenism. It's not unity. We're not trying to be one with all people. When we get rid of denominational names, we're not trying to be the same. We're not trying to be in agreement with everybody, and we're not trying to make it so that we'll all be one big happy family. I don't know how to emphasize this too much. Unity by coercion is absolutely no good, and unity by apathy is also no good. Now here you have Roman Catholics who have a unity. They do have a unity, but it's by coercion. It's by, you know, this is, you have to do this. This is the way it's got to be. It's a top-down system. Same way with Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. These are top-down systems where somebody at the top or a group of people at the top make decisions about what we believe and send out a letter every month or every 2 weeks or whatever, so that everybody knows what they're supposed to believe. Hey, that's not the way you're supposed to be. We are not ecumenical in any way at all. We, in fact, are going to emphasize and promote Jesus Christ and the New Testament. We whatever the New Testament stands for, that's what we stand for. How can we be ecumenical with someone who says Jesus didn't really rise from the dead? Well, that's not believing the Bible at all. You might as well not be anything at all. In fact, what is Christianity at all? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, your faith is vain. It's a waste of time. Now, outward conformity is not good enough. Outward conformity is not going to take care of it. We don't want everybody to be in agreement. That's not what we're trying to do. And we're not trying to make everybody feel welcome, even if they don't believe what we believe. It's not ecumenism. When we say we meet in the name of Jesus, we are not denominational, we are not non-denominational, and we are not ecumenical. It's not about unity. Now, there are absolutely necessities for division. Separation. Like I've said before, I am a sectarian. I do not believe in unity. In fact, I think if anybody emphasizes unity, they have missed the boat. We're not trying to be one with everyone. We want to be one with all true Christians, but we want to also divide ourselves very, very strongly, very emphatically divide ourselves from those who are not Christian or who are undermining Christianity. Surely you recognize this. Surely you realize we have to make a stand. We have to make some kind of a commitment to Jesus. So when I say that we meet in the name of Jesus, we are not trying to make everybody feel welcome in this church. In fact, I think that's a real mistake. So many churches nowadays go to the trouble of trying to make nobody feel unwelcome in their church. But I think a whole lot of people ought to feel unwelcome in the church. Not because we look down our nose at them or turn away from them or refuse to shake their hands. That's not why they should be unwelcome. They should feel unwelcome if they're living in sin and have no intention of repenting or getting right and have no desire to serve God. They ought to feel uncomfortable. Sure, somebody who comes into this church and does not believe in Jesus Christ and does not believe the gospel and does not believe the Bible and does not believe in righteousness that is described in the Bible, they ought to feel terribly uncomfortable. They ought to be squirming. They ought to be wanting to get up and get out. That ought to be one of our motivations. We want to be sectarian. Not sectarian over non-essentials, but obviously sectarian over very important essential doctrines, such as the resurrection, such as the virgin birth, such as the inerrancy of Scripture. These things that are basic to Christianity. I'm not against sectarianism in itself. We want to divide. And also there's a level of sectarianism or division, separation, that is necessary in a local church. The Bible says, whoever's walking disorderly, have no fellowship with them. Walk away from them. Have no fellowship. It talks about somebody who calls themselves a brother, and yet they're fornicating, and they're drunkards, and what he says, not to even eat with them. Remove them. Deliver them unto Satan. Why? Because it's a practical division that's necessary in the local church. And of course, that division also counts for everybody who calls themselves a Christian. The Bible says, let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So we have to be strong and divisive on some things. So when I say we meet in the name of Jesus, we're not just talking about unity. We do want to be sectarian in that sense. We want people to be saved. And you don't get saved by just believing any old thing. You get saved by believing what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. All right. Now, why does it matter? Why it matters? Because I know a lot of people say, look, you guys are really beating a dead horse. Who cares? It's just a technicality. It's just nothing. Why does it matter? And think about it. Why does it matter to Jesus? Why does his name matter? I've always gotten a kick out of people who don't like their own name. You notice that? Like that John Snodgrass changed his name to Jack Snodgrass. Hey, man, he didn't like John. Hey, you ever notice known people who didn't like their name, just all embarrassed about their name? I always got a kick about that. That's just hilarious. I know that some people find out my middle name is Roscoe. And they think that's funny. They say that's a dog's name. Go for it, man. Go for it. Make fun of my name all you want. I like my name. I'm not against my name. I'm not. And I'm going to stand up for it. It matters to me. It's my name. Now, somebody will say, well, it doesn't really matter, does it? A rose that smells, you know, rose smells the same no matter what you call it. But I won't eat yogurt because of that stupid name they gave it. I won't eat eggplant. I won't even try it. They should have named it something else. Names matter, folks. Names actually matter. But now to get serious, Jesus' name matters. If you will read the New Testament, find out just how important the name is. Find out how often the apostles praised His name and actually invoked His name, called His name, called it out, mentioned it. You realize how seldom it happens nowadays? It's an amazing thing. In Scripture, His name is exalted. Look at the way it's talked about in the Bible. Look at how it's amazing how they just go into superlatives about the wonderful, precious name, and they just mention His name in such glorious terms. And then look at the way we talk. It's embarrassing how far we've come from the way they used to praise His name. There's something wrong. Does it matter to Him? Well, let's look at some things. Look at Ephesians 3:15. Look at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It's a family name. My family name matters. It matters. Because it's my family. And it ought to matter to you. Your family name ought to matter. And he says this name, it's named after. You know what an honor it is to be named after, to have someone named after you? Isn't that an honor? Isn't that what it's for? I notice nowadays they're wanting to be weird in their names that they give people. They want to be weird. They want to give them. I mean, I meet kids all the time named Tuesday or you know, some really ridiculous name. I saw on the news the other day a fella got killed. It's a 15-year-old boy got killed. He was a member of a gang. His name was True Sincere Trusty. His last name was Trusty. They named him True Sincere. He was a gang member. He got killed. I knew it when it came on the news. I knew it because I don't forget that kind of a name. And he had come through our system. And so and his name was True Sincere Trusty. I think, well, you know, I'll never forget that name. What kind of name is that? True Sincere Trusty. But then he was on the news. A young man got killed. His name was True Sincere Trusty. I thought, well, it can't be two people with that name, can there? What in the world is wrong with naming someone after your grandpa? Well, it means something. Names mean something. If you will look back in your family history, in your family tree, you will find how many times the same names are repeated in your family. And why? Because it was a sense of honor, back and forth, honoring your grandpa, or honoring your father, or honoring your great-grandfather, or honoring somebody in your family because it has some meaning. It has some personal meaning to you. Now, what do you think the meaning of the name of Jesus is? It's the name we got saved by. It's the name we pray to. We lift up that name. It's the one we praise. It's the one that's in all the hymn books. Say it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to Him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what church you go to. Just have a good attitude. Just have a good spirit. Really? It doesn't matter? I've heard it. I've heard even from people in this room. Oh, it doesn't matter. I hope they're happy in that church over there. No. No, it matters. If it doesn't matter, then nothing matters. It matters what name you meet in. Why would Jesus say it otherwise? Why would He say, where two or three are gathered together? He could just say, where two or three are gathered together. He didn't have to say in His name. But they gather in His name and it matters to Him. And obviously it matters to Him. He says the whole family in heaven and earth is named after Me. Except it's not. Look at practically how it is out in the world. It's not named after Him. There's not one of them. In fact, you will see on a whole lot of churches, you'll have all kinds of names. The first something or another, sub-church of this, whatever, on this road, pastor, such and such. Not one mention of the name of Jesus Christ. You'll see it in their advertisements. You ever heard some of the advertisements churches have? Amazing. They will mention the name of their church and they will mention the name of their pastor. Hello, I'm Buckner Fanning from Trinity Baptist Church, and I just want to let you know that we're going to be having services this morning, and we'd love to have you come. We just think we can be a benefit to you, and we'll have you, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how much money you spend on those things, but not a mention of Jesus Christ. You think that doesn't matter to Jesus? It matters. It matters to Him. Well, let's look at a couple more, because I am going to move it on. I'm going to try to finish this right now. James 2:7. James chapter 2 and verse 7. See if you're getting the gist out of the Scriptures. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Talking about rich people who have treated poor people wrongly. He says, aren't they blaspheming the name by which you are called? Well, what's the name you're called by? It's Jesus' name. We are followers of Jesus. We follow Jesus Christ, the one that is described in the New Testament. That's who we follow. That's who we believe. That's who we exalt. That's who we praise. That's who we sing praises to. And so when somebody blasphemes that name, it's the name that we are called after. Except you'll find people all over the world that aren't called after that name. Don't even think anything of it. All right, let's look at a couple more. Acts chapter 14. Trust me, I could go to hundreds of these verses. Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 15, look at verse 14. Acts 15:14. James is talking. He says, Simeon, that means Simon Peter, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. You know what Jesus did? He says, I'm going to call these Gentiles. Call them out. And hey, folks, we're Gentiles. And God came and looked us up. He says, go find some of them weird Hottentots out there in the middle of nowhere who have sticks through their nose and have their lips all stretched out. And they're running around naked in the jungle. He says, go find them. I'm going to call them out. I'm going to make them a people for My name. I'm going to make them a people for My name. It's not just the people out there in Tahiti. It's not just the people in South America, the Awka Indians. It's you, Europeans. Yeah, it is. It's us. We were the Gentiles. We were a bunch. Listen, my ancestors ran around the forest worshiping fungus. Mistletoe. Some of you still do it. Kiss under the mistletoe. Hey, let me tell you. Our ancestors were so far removed from God, without hope and without God in the world. And Jesus Christ says, you go out and preach to them. And people lost their lives to do it. And He called us out. Why? For His name. Has to do with His name. He wants His name exalted among the Gentiles. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom My name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Oh, He says, look at all these people upon whom My name is called. And yet they're ashamed to even mention it in public. When they pray in public, they're ashamed to mention it. That's a shame. All right. Does it matter to Jesus? Does it matter to us? Does it matter to us? I want you to stop and think about something. What does the Bible say? Well, in fact, let's look at it. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse 13. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name. Thou holdest fast my name. Right there where Satan's seat is, you're holding fast my name. You know what Jesus is proud of? They're hanging on to his name. How fast are you willing to get rid of it? Preacher says something you don't like. Who cares about his name? Means nothing to you? Seriously? The name ought to mean something to you. Jesus says, I know you've gone through all these trouble, but I know one thing about you. You've held on to my name. Look at chapter 3 and look at verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. My name. My name. You know what I'm proud of you about? God says, Jesus says it. You know what I'm proud about you? You hung in there, man. You got a little strength. And you've held on to my word. You haven't been correcting it. You haven't been switching it out for a better one. One you like the most. The one you prefer. You just hang on to my word, and you haven't denied my name. You know, that means something. You know, it means something to us. It ought to mean something to you to have Jesus at that day say, you know something about you? You cared enough about my name, you were willing to sacrifice stuff for it. You were willing to give up some stuff for my name. It ought to mean something to you. And what happens when you stop being zealous over his name? Jesus says, I find you lukewarm, and I want to spew you out of my mouth. So does it mean anything to you? Does the name mean anything that it makes Jesus happy? If it makes Jesus happy, it ought to mean something to you. Why does it matter? Well, it matters because it matters to him. It matters to us. Who wants to be lukewarm? Who wants to be half-hearted? Who wants to be mediocre? Nobody. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Choose one. What about spiritual usefulness? Now, I want you to think about this, because spiritual usefulness has to do with eternal usefulness. Because I don't know if you've noticed it, but a whole lot of people have all kinds of programs and things they're interested in that has nothing to do with spiritual usefulness. And think about what's useful in the spiritual realm. Remember, we fight against principalities and powers of the air, and we're not fighting against flesh and blood, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are these strongholds? What are these principalities? They're not people around here. They're people in the, these are these spirits in the air fighting. And you know what they want to do? They want to shame the name of Jesus. They want it to be shut up. They want it not to be mentioned. They don't want to hear his name. And so when we get some Christians that just get all zealous and excited about the name of Jesus, they're becoming spiritually useful. They're beating the devil. They're actually winning. All right, let's keep moving. How about to other believers? You know, if you would stop being so zealous of your special names, You would create a much better relationship between you and all other Christians. Now, that's not going to solve all the problems that you have with other people, but it'll get rid of that one. In other words, if you would stop pushing for your own self-promotion or your own little group's promotion and start promoting Jesus Christ, a whole lot of people might just say, you know, I agree with that. But if all you do is pushing your own agenda, your own stuff, well, then a whole lot of people are going to say, no, I disagree with that. And you start praising Jesus Christ, you start lifting up his name and his word, and you start making all of your attempts, all of your works, all of your drive, all of your zeal in order to raise him up, to praise him, to exalt him. Well, it takes away a tremendous amount of rivalries that are among Christians. It fills them all with a little bit of grace. What about to the world? Does it matter that we mention his name all the time to the world? Oh, yeah, because there's no way they can be saved unless they know that name and know what it means. And if we would exalt that name, the world would stand up and listen. But when we exalt something else, When we all start saying, you know, it's really about living right. It's really about, you know, becoming well-adjusted. It's really about unity. It's really about world peace. No, it's not about any of that stuff. It's about Jesus Christ, the only name that can save souls. The only name that can really make you right with God. The only way, the only name that can help have you defeat death forever. That's the only one. Yes, well, that's why it matters. All right, I don't have a whole lot of time. Let's do it. How does it work? How is it done? How do you meet in His name? Because you might have to. You might have to move. This church might fold tomorrow. I don't think there's anything eternal in this building. There's nothing here that's special. That's why we don't have stained glass windows. Just ugly gray curtains. Okay, we're going to try to make it nicer. Okay, we're going to spruce it up a little bit. We'll paint it and, you know, sweep it and stuff. We're going to do as best we can. But this building doesn't matter. And it's not this group of people either. So anything could happen. All kinds of things could happen. We might tomorrow have to start meeting secretively in our home. So how are you going to meet? How are you going to do it? How is it done? All right, a couple of things just to mention it. First of all, technically, include His name. Mention it. Amen. How about like have the name on your sign? If you're meeting in a home secretively, well, don't be putting out a sign, okay? But you could mention His name when you invite people to your home, right? Isn't it about Jesus? You see, if you're not mentioning His name, you're not meeting in His name technically. I mean, if it's not on your sign, you're not meeting in His name technically. I'm talking technically. I realize you might have a wonderful heart and a desire to love God and all that, and you're technically messing up. But I'm talking technically right now, and technically, if you want to do it right, put His name on your sign. Not the pastor's name. All these churches have the pastor's name on the sign. Something's wrong there. All right. How about put His name on your sign? How about put His name on your letterhead? How about have His name on the checks you write from your church, huh? Ah, surely it can't matter. How about have His name in the legal documents that set you apart as a church? How about have His name on there? How about have His name in your advertisements? You gotta get really fed up with all of these high dollar advertisements, advertising on WOAI and advertising on KTSA and advertising on all of these radio stations and even on ABC and NBC and CBS. They come out there and they have a rippling brook and say, you know, how life sometimes gets hard and we'd like you to come to our meetings because life can be better if you know, if you hear rippling brooks in it. I don't know. Not a mention of the name of Jesus. Why not? Why not? What are you spending your money on? Just to invite people to your stupid building? His name is what matters. So how is it done technically? Include His name in everything you do. He says, do all things in His name. Everything you do for His glory, in His name, by His authority, for Him. Yeah, okay, that's technically. How about that? How about exclude all other names? Take your breath away. Get rid of the other names. Take the pastor's name off the sign. Get rid of it. He's nothing. Amazed. It always amazed me. I'd be preaching the gospel to a lot of people, and they come up to me and say, well, what about Mary? You still love Mary, right? I could care less about Mary. She's nothing. She's nothing at all. I wouldn't mention her in the same breath. Exclude all other names, denominational, the pastors, the founders, exclude them all. All right, how about spiritually? How about in your meetings, mention His name? Mention it. Talk about it. How about when you pray? Pray in His name. And you're not praying in His name if you don't mention His name, folks. This, seriously. It's not just some sort of a yoga thing. This is a reality thing. You want to do it right? Mention His name when you pray. Mention His name when you baptize. He told you to baptize in His name. mention His name when you baptize. You notice a lot of people baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost and then forget to say His name. Just forget it. Skip right over that part. I think you need to love His name a little bit more. It needs to be closer to your heart. It needs to be closer to your spirit. It needs to make you just want to talk about it. It ought to be that way. We ought to be that kind of zealous about His name. Surely. Surely. Focus on His name. Focus on it. The name is important. Focus on it. When you praise, think about His name. Focus on His name when you pray. Emphasize His name. Emphasize it. Lift it up. It's the name of Jesus. It is the name of Jesus Christ, that one that died for us. He's the one. The one that's mentioned in the New Testament. The one they mention all the time in the New Testament. His name matters. Spiritually, you got to mention His name. You've got to emphasize it. You got to praise it. And you got to say it again. Say it again. That's not going to hurt you to say it again. It's not going to hurt you to mention it again. You ever notice in the Bible how I always get a kick out of that. You know, you read Acts chapter 10 and it gives this whole story about how Peter goes to the Gentiles. And then it gets to Acts chapter 11 and Peter starts telling what happened. And he says the whole thing all over again. Why does he mention it so many times? Because that's good for you. Say it again. Avoid exalting any other name in your meetings. In fact, I'll tell you something. The church ought to be, and when I say church, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the people here. When I say church, when you meet as a church, you ought to not be exalting any other name. There ought to be no other name that's even brought up in any kind of an honorable way. I mean, if you want to mention somebody who's sick, you might need to say their name. But I'm talking about exalting people. Do not exalt anybody but Jesus Christ, because the church ought to be about Him. In fact, in Mexico, we got to the place where we would not allow any kind of announcements that would have anything to do with something outside of what Jesus Christ is in the church. Because we got people who wanted to us to announce that they were going to have an Avon sale after the meeting. Really? We finally said no. No announcements whatsoever. In fact, we wouldn't even announce birthdays. That's something you ought to consider, too. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's not about anniversaries. It's not about business meetings and social gatherings. It's not even about self-improvement. And I hope you improve. I really do. I'm gonna pray for you to improve. But that's not what church is about. Church is about Jesus Christ. Only about Jesus Christ. It's not about Mary, and it's not about St. Jude of impossible causes or lost causes. It's not about Martin Luther. It's not about your denomination. It's not about what you're trying to get done in this society. It's not about politics. Avoid exalting any other name. No heroes. Avoid other purposes. You got to watch out because a whole lot of churches start having purposes other than blessing Jesus Christ and serving Jesus Christ. They start having business contacts and they start having all kinds of other things, social and political rallies. And hey, seriously, man, make sure the church avoids all that. This is how it's done. There is no other way to do it. We want to meet in Jesus' name. There's no other way to do it. Stop all the other junk. You got to get rid of all that other junk. Avoid it. A whole lot of them have gotten themselves messed up in education. A whole lot of churches now are spending a great, huge part of their budget on buildings for building schools, Christian schools, in order to educate our children. And I know some of you have a close heart for that, and you say, that's what we need to do. No, that's not what the church is. The church is not about educating your kids. You educate your kids. If you want the government to do it, that's fine. If you want to do it, that's fine. If you want to do it in the homeschool, that's fine. If you want to find a private school out there, that's fine. It's not for the church to do. The church has one function, and you've got to avoid all the other functions. The church has just the function because of lifting up Jesus Christ, because the moment it has another function, Jesus is put into the background. He all of a sudden finds himself in the shadows, or like it says over there in Revelation, he's outside at the door knocking. Is anybody in there interested in having supper with me? And he'll find out that it's not a whole lot of people. All right, I got like 2 minutes. I don't even have that much. But anyway, what does it secure? What does the name of Jesus secure? Doesn't he say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So if you meet in his name, it secures fellowship with God. Catholics talk about what's called the real presence. They believe Jesus is in the cookie. They really do. That's what they believe. Jesus is in that little piece of bread. That's what they call the real presence. Look, forget that nonsense, but think about it. The real presence of Jesus Christ is where people are gathered together in his name. How do we know? He promised it. He said so. You've got to believe the promise. What does it secure? It secures his real presence. And let me tell you something. If you wonder whether, because you're not doing it right and you haven't really cared, whatever, and you still think Jesus is with you, how do you know? What is the evidence of it? I don't think you got a whole lot. All right, how about authority? Doesn't it secure authority? Hey, guess what? Preachers have no authority. Preachers have no authority. What did Amos say? I'm just a herdsman. You know, the only thing I can tell you is that God came to me while I was herding my sheep, and he said, go preach into another place. He went all the way from Judah, went all the way up to the northern kingdom, started preaching up there. And they said, who gave you the right to do it? He said, well, God told me to do this. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this. It's the only authority we got. It's the only authority we got. It's not the authority of scholarship. It's not the authority of a superior education. It's not the authority of you've gone to such and such a Bible school or institute, or you've been pastor of such and such a church and you have a huge resume. There's no authority in any of that. The authority is in the name of Jesus Christ and speaking according to his word. All right? Power. You ever wonder why we don't have no power? It might be because you have not been exalted in the name of Jesus like you ought to. You wonder why there's no revival? Well, maybe because it hasn't been about Jesus. Maybe Jesus wouldn't get any glory at all out of a revival in your church. Think about it. Maybe if souls started getting saved in your church, Jesus would get no glory from it. Because you haven't given him any glory up to now. Watch out. And spiritual victory. What is the spiritual victory? Jesus satisfied. Jesus saying, hey, did you see my servant Job? Huh? That's spiritual victory. When Jesus points out Job and says, hey, did you see my servant Job? That's spiritual victory. How about when Jesus is pointing out to his people up there, he says, did you see my brother over there in the church at Oak Knoll? You see how he praises my name? He has not denied my name. He has not denied my name. He's kept my name. Have you noticed that? That's the victory you're looking for. And you're not getting it if you're not doing it in his name. If you're not praising his name, you're not getting a whole lot of victory. And Satan ashamed, Satan set aside, Satan having his mouth shut. Oh, that's just beautiful. That's your spiritual victory. Spiritual victory is not having a huge cathedral with stained glass and crystal chandeliers. That's not success. That's not victory. Victory is when Jesus Christ says, I'm satisfied with these people. And that's all I got time for. We ought to meet in his name. Make sure you do it.